Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. At Beth Emmanuel, we are proclaiming the vital gospel message of the coming kingdom of heaven. If you share our passion for this message, please support this teaching ministry and messianic community with your prayers and financial contributions. To learn how, click on the donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
We've been learning this summer, the summer of love, we've been learning about the mitzvah of love, actually the mitzvot of love. First of all, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what we've been working our way through, slowly, trying to nail this down. Because it's pretty important when you consider that our master was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important commandment in the Torah? And he answered, and he said, the most important is, Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he volunteered some more information and said, and the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so we've been trying to understand the full implication of these two commandments, to love God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. And so far we've been working on your heart and your soul and your might, and to nail down these terms. And just to remind you, your heart, we determined, is the seat of your intellect, your mind. It's where you think, it's your thoughts. And to serve God, to love God with your heart, implies serving God, loving God with your mind, and the service of the heart, then the sages say, is prayer. So this hints toward tefillah, to prayer. But not only that, but that we should have a pure heart, and we should be like David, who had a heart like God, to think of the world in terms of that paradigm of sovereignty and the work of God. This is to love God with your heart, to love God with your mind, to love God with your intellect, with all your heart, with a pure heart. Out of the heart comes all manner of evil, our master taught. The heart is the source, the mind is the source of sin. And Paul said that the mind that's set on the flesh cannot serve God and cannot observe his Torah. It's opposed to God's Torah. So we pray for a new heart. And the promise of the Messianic era is that Hashem will take this heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh on which he writes his Torah. And he will sprinkle us with pure water. And this is, as we're looking forward to the high holidays, this is where our mind is turning. And then it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. And we learn that this is the nefesh, not the eternal soul. We're not speaking of your eternal soul. You should love God with all your immortal, eternal soul. But rather, the nefesh is your life, your being, yourself. You shall love the Lord your God with yourself, your life, your vitality. And so last week we were talking about how this is a call to asceticism, a call to take on the disciplines, to discipline the flesh even, and what our master taught us, when you fast, to take on a fast. When you fast, you shall don't make your face sad and disfigured to show everyone that you're fasting, but rather conceal the fact that you're fasting in order that only your Father in heaven will know. We learned this last week, I'm just reminding you. And I taught you also to love God with your nefesh, to love God with your life, to love God with your soul implies Kiddush Hashem, which is the ultimate sign of love, where you lay down yourself for the sake of the kingdom. Lay down your life. And this is martyrdom that I'm speaking of, that we are the type of people, we are the type of people who are willing to die for what we believe. We're willing to die for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. We're willing to die for the sake of Hashem rather than to recant. And so this has been for all of the history of the followers of Yeshua. We have seen brothers and sisters who have paid for their confession of the name of Yeshua with their very lives. And that's what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And I told you the story last week of Rabbi Akiva, who paid for his love for God He loved God with all of his soul, and he said the Shema as he was dying, remember? So I told you that today we would be speaking about Kiddush Hashem. We would learn about this concept of martyrdom, of dying for the sake of the kingdom, of being willing to lay down our lives for the sake of the kingdom. But I changed my mind, so we won't be speaking about that today. Then we learned we have yet to learn to love the Lord your God with all your might. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your might? Well, this is your financial resources. The sages explain, to love the Lord your God with all your might is to love him with your money, with your possessions. So, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, it's with your mind, with your thought, with your intellect. And it's the service of God is from the heart. The service of God is tefillah. Tefillah is prayer. This is why we are in the discipline of prayer, daily prayer, the three times of prayer, and so forth. And to love the Lord your God with all of your soul, this is tshuva. This is, we're turning our life over to God. We're turning away from our own inclination and our own comforts and our own selfishness, our own nefeshishness. And we're turning that over to Hashem. That is teshuvah, to turn away from sin and the service of the self, to turn toward the service of God. That is to serve God with all of our soul. And then finally, to serve or to love God with all of our might. That is tzedakah. That's charity. That's giving. So do you recognize that there's a setup? You should. Tefillah, teshuvah, and tzedakah are the three magic words of the season that we're entering. What is the season that we're entering anyway? Well, let me explain it this way. This Tuesday and Wednesday is Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul. Elul is the month, it's the last month of the Jewish year before the new year, the last month before Rosh Hashanah. And so Elul is let me put it this way. It's like this. I got it. I've got a metaphor for you. Did you ever go to college? It doesn't matter whether you did or not, but you can certainly identify with the experience where you realize that the big test is tomorrow and you haven't studied yet all semester. All right, and so what do? You stay up all night doing what we call cramming. All right, cramming for the test, right? Because, it makes sense because if you had been studying all week, it wouldn't be fresh in your mind the next day. You know, so you stay up all night cramming for the test to get ready for the test at the very last minute. Is that what Elul is like? Well, kind of. Kind of like that. The idea is that we start to repent. I mean, not that we haven't been repenting before, but we really start to repent because when the first day of the month of Elul comes, we realize we are only 30 days out from Rosh Hashanah, the day on which all creation stands in judgment before God, and the books are open, the book of life, the book of death, the book of the in-between. And we're going to be judged for the previous year. So, we pretty much know where we stand in this judgment, and it's not good. We have not been studying. So, we're going to cram. Elul is about cramming in preparation for the day of judgment. So during the month of Elul and the 40 days before Yom Kippur, Elul starts, Elul 1, Rosh Chodesh Elul, the beginning of the month of Elul, begins a 40-day period that culminates in the 40th day, which is Yom Kippur, the day of judgment. During these 40 days, we're busy, very busy. This is our busy season, during which we're busy making amends and issuing apologies and repairing relationships and doing those things that we know we should have been doing before. And we increase in kavana and tefillah, we increase in tzedakah, we increase in prayer and Torah study, and we you've been meaning to get to do your daily devotions. Well, in Elul, you do your daily devotions, and you've been meaning to get this area of your life cleaned up. That's a little things have fallen apart a little bit. You've backslidden a little bit. Actually, this sounds like a terrible recipe. This sounds like a terrible plan. It sounds like as if, now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, it sounds almost as if we're saying you can live how you want until you get to Elul, but then when the high holidays are drawing close, you better clean up your act. As if we're talking about going up to Mardi Gras and then cleaning up our lives during Lent so that we look good on Easter. That's not the idea. Instead, as I was telling the children, that you're supposed to repent, not just during Elul, but every single day, yes? Every day is a day of repentance. So if you're supposed to repent every day and be drawing closer to Hashem every day and walking out this life of faith every day, then what's the point in having a season of repentance? All right, this question reminds me of a question posed by the Lubavitcher Rebbe once in regard to Thanksgiving. Because he was a big proponent of Jewish people celebrating Thanksgiving, which is kind of back and forth with whether that was a Christian holiday and appropriate or not, and that sort of thing for Jewish people. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, well, of course it's appropriate. This is a godly country, and it's appropriate to thank God. So who could object to thanking God? And so people objected. They said, well, in Judaism, we thank God every day. And the rabbi said, well, of course we do. We thank God every day. We thank God all day, every day. But that doesn't at all diminish the necessity or, the value of having a day where you specifically focus on this aspect of your service of God. That we should be grateful. To concentrate on gratitude on one single day doesn't diminish that you should be grateful every day of your life. Okay. It works similar with Elul. When we come to the season of repentance, the season of teshuva, it doesn't diminish that you should be living a godly, righteous life and you should be repenting. And every time you sin, every time you experience, God forbid, a transgression in your life, that you should immediately go to your Father in heaven and confess it with devout contrition and confess your sin before Hashem and pledge to rectify it. And to correct it and ask for forgiveness in the name of Yeshua, our Master. And He is gracious to forgive every day. However, in the month of Elul, well, you know how it is. I want you to think back to last year, Yom Kippur. Well, we'll start even at Rosh Hashanah. Last year at Rosh Hashanah, when you heard the shofar blow at Rosh Hashanah. And the books were opened, so to speak, trembling in the presence of the Almighty. And then those 10 days, and we come to Yom Kippur, and the awesome power of the day on Erev Yom Kippur and the Kol Nidre service. And we're saying, for the sin that we sinned against you, and we're beating our chest. And we're saying, I have sinned, I have transgressed, I have gone astray. And you're feeling it, and you're experiencing this, and going through this, and you're fasting, and you're drawing closer to Hashem, and all of the year before. Remember when we were throwing rocks in the water? Remember at Rosh Hashanah throwing rocks in the water? It's like each rock is a sin. You throw that rock, and it's like, here goes gossip. Here goes gossip. Blunk. It's tashlik. Cast the sin into the sea, it's forgotten before Hashem. And surely you didn't think, I'll go and get that rock out of the water later. After the holidays are over, I'll go find that rock, put it back in my pocket. And you're just like, it's over, it's gone, it's done, I'm a noob. And you come to the end of Yom Kippur and we're hearing the last shofar, the last great shofar of the Nila service, and you're dressed in white, and you're standing before the Almighty as one congregation, a single voice, and the forgiveness of God and the Hashem is so kind to forgive us and to give us a new start. And you're like a new creature. You come to the end of Yom Kippur. You come to the end of the Day of Atonement. You're like a new creature, that a new baby that's just been born without any sins and without any merit. A fresh start. And you think of those resolutions that you resolved in your mind at that time to say, from now on, thus, forward, going forward. So what happened? I mean, go back from then to now. What happened to you? I mean, come on. We're adults here. You know, is this really? What are we playing games here? Well, you know, God knows. Hashem knows. He knows that we are but dust. He knows our frame. It says in the Psalms. He's gracious and compassionate. And He knows that we are human. And He knows that we stray and that we wander. We backslide. And He knows that it's hard for us to pay attention, to love Him with all of our mind. Our mind is easily distracted. We're distracted by the material world. We're distracted by normal things. We're distracted by the busyness of life and all of our good intentions, sincere as they are, might not be enough to keep us on that straight and narrow way. And we soon find our feet on the wide road that leads to destruction. And so in His wisdom, He gives us the high holidays, not once in our life, but every year we come back to the high holidays to make a course correction. You might imagine it like a ship trying to cross the Atlantic Ocean. And every night, when the stars are out, the navigator checks the position of the stars and is able to make, looking at the charts, is able to make a course correction. But he loses that ability in the day when it's all just sky. But every night, we can check against the stars. When we come to Elul, and we come to Tishrei, we come to the high holidays, we make those course corrections on this voyage. So it's not a matter of sin and sin freely until Elul and the high holidays, but rather Elul and the high holidays give us an opportunity to focus down and to say, here's where I need to fix things. The 40 days, this 40-day adventure that I'm inviting you on, this 40-day journey, it corresponds to 40 years in the wilderness. It corresponds to the 40 days that Moses was on Mount Sinai after the big sin. You know what the big sin was? What's the big sin of the Bible? Well, the big sin of the Bible after the big sin, the big sin being the big sin of the Big Bang, being the sin in the Garden of Eden. But after that, what's the big sin of the Bible? It's the golden calf. The construction of the golden calf right after the giving of the Torah at Sinai is considered to be the big sin. So Moses said to the children of Israel after they had committed the big sin, he said, perhaps I can make atonement for you. And then he went up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to spend another 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain. And according to the tradition of our sages, before he went up on the mountain another 40 days and 40 nights, he sounded a shofar throughout the camp. He took a trumpet and he blew this trumpet throughout the camp so that the sound of the trumpet should shock people and awaken them and remind them not to commit such a terrible sin again, but that they should be repenting while he is up on the mountain. And so Moses spent those 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain while the people of Israel waited in anxiety, uncertain of whether or not the Lord would forgive them, uncertain of whether or not they would still be the people of God, and they would enter the land of their fathers, the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then at the end of the 40 days, on the 40th day, which happened to be Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, meaning that Moses went up the mountain on Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul. 40 days later, Moses returned down the mountain with the good news. And the good news is that God has forgiven you, that God has made a new covenant with you, and the new tablets in his arms and the glory and the splendor of the kingdom on his face. That's what Elul's about. So every year we come to the month of Elul, we remember this story. Rosh Chodesh Elul, the anniversary of the day that Moses went up on the mountain, saying, perhaps I can make atonement for you. In anticipation of 40 days later, his return in glory and splendor. And of course, this corresponds then to the 40 jubilees since our master ascended the mountain. The 40 jubilees that are passing 2,000 years from the time of the destruction of the temple. 2,000 years, these are the 40 years in the wilderness, corresponding to the 40 years in the wilderness during these 40 days of Elul. We're experiencing that. 40 years in the wilderness correspond to 40 days in the wilderness that our master went to seek Hashem for revelation. And he battled the devil. And he conquered temptation. So too, as his disciples, we take 40 days to battle the devil inside, the evil inclination, our own evil inclination, and to conquer temptation, to rectify where we've gone astray. That's what this season's about, the 40 days of repentance. There's a lot of tricks to it, a lot of things that we, like for example, every day during the 40 days of repentance, beginning on Elul 1, which is actually Wednesday, beginning on Elul 1, after Shacharit in the morning, which is the morning prayers, after the morning prayers, we sound the shofar, and we sound the shofar to remind us to repent. That we do this every day except on Sabbath, and except on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the day before Rosh Hashanah. We don't sound the shofar the day before Rosh Hashanah just to make a separation between the biblical commandment to sound the shofar and the tradition of sounding the shofar during Elul. So just to make a distinction there. So we do this, we don't do this every day. I mean, we would if we had a Shacharit service, we would do this every day. If we had a weekday minyan to meet here, we would, you know, that would be something we could do to repent. Yeah, that would be something we could do. We could. So if we can get 10 guys to commit to be here Wednesday morning at 6:30 a.m., I think 6:30 is a fair time. 6:30 a.m., if there's 10 guys at 6:30 a.m., we will blow the shofar after Shacharit this Wednesday. It'll be great. It'll be fabulous. It'll be the first time, I think. First time ever. You know, after how many years? More than a decade. 6:30 a.m. If we pray at 6:30 a.m., you'll be out of here by 7:30, 7:45, something like that. There is a Torah reading on Wednesdays. Wednesday? Rosh Chodesh, yeah. Yep. That's right, Rosh Chodesh. Okay, well, that's an idea. Just let me know if you can, if you're going to be around. That's one thing. Oh, another thing we do. This is a Hasidic custom. I like this very much, by the way. Started doing this a couple years ago. We read the book of Psalms during the 40 days. Here's what you do. Starting on... All right, I think I got this in the back of your bulletin. Yeah. See where it says 40 days of Tehillim? Beginning Wednesday, pray 3 psalms each of the 40 days, and then complete the last 36 psalms on Yom Kippur. You know, when you're sitting around fasting with nothing to do except read cookbooks. Right. Instead, do something pious and read the last 30. So then you'll have completed 150 psalms over the 40 days. This is a beautiful custom, a very worthy custom to do. We have these different tricks to remind us to repent. I recommend making a cheshbon. You know what a cheshbon is? A cheshbon is the bill that you get. You go out to eat, and then you eat, and then they hand you a cheshbon. It's the here's what you owe. You know, it's sort of an account. A cheshbon is an accounting. I recommend using this time to make an accounting. You know, because forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. How much do I owe? What sorts of things? What are the debts that I have incurred over the last year? You know, and it's not enough. Oftentimes, it's not enough to simply say, okay, I won't do that again. You probably will, and for one thing. You probably will do that again. But in order to repent, in order to truly repent, as our Master says, to truly turn around, sometimes you need to find the opposite and do that. Do you understand? Find the opposite of whatever the particular thing is, and do that. So, for example, I mean, the easy one, if speaking nastiness about people is your particular poison, during these 40 days, you would make an extra effort to speak well of those same people, to find occasions on which to speak well of the same people which you may have inadvertently maligned, or perhaps advertently maligned in the previous year. This is just some tricks. These are tricks to repent. What I'm talking about is drawing closer to Hashem. But what have we been learning? We've been learning... I know another trick. Psalm 27. We pray Psalm 27 during the 40 days. Why Psalm 27? Well, Psalm 27, you know, is, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life," and so forth. And then it says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble." And the Midrash explains, "The Lord is my light" on Rosh Hashanah. "The Lord is my salvation" on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. "He will hide me in his sukkah," he will hide me in his shelter during Sukkot. So the Midrash makes an association between the psalm and the high holidays. Therefore, beginning on Wednesday morning, I believe, the first day of Elul, we pray Psalm 27 at the end of Shacharit, morning prayers, and at the end of Mariv, the evening prayers, through this period of time. So that's another thing we do, just to remind ourselves, to remind ourselves we are in this season. This is our busy season. This is crunch time. This is when we're supposed to be cramming. There's a test coming. All right? So that's some of the things we do. But the big point, the punchline, what's the point? The big point is we're coming up to face God in a season of judgment. And the judgment is going to be based upon our performance over the previous year. Yes, I know this sounds suspiciously like works doctrine, but it's not. We're not talking about a judgment for your eternal salvation or anything like that. We're talking about the here and the now, in this world. Yes. And so we're facing this judgment. We've come to face this judgment at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're facing the judgment, and we're trying to avert any evil decree that we may have incurred, you know. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows, it says in the book of Galatians. And so the chances are that we've been sowing a lot of things during the last year that we do not want to reap. And so we would like to avoid reaping some of the negative things that we've sown. And the sages say, well, if that's the case, there is a formula. The formula is this: prayer, repentance, and charity remove the evil decree. Prayer, what kind of prayer? Well, prayers of confession. Confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us. Those kinds of prayers. Prayer, repentance. What kind of repentance? Well, repentance is turning away from the sin. It's not just about confessing the sin, which started with prayer, but with repentance, we turn around and start behaving ourselves, start behaving differently, and start going in the correct direction rather than sliding away from Hashem. Prayer, repentance, and charity, tzedakah, righteousness. Charity, what is charity? Well, charity is giving. Giving of our resources to the work of the kingdom, to those less needy, or to those more needy than ourselves, to those in need, to those who are underprivileged, to worthy causes like Acts for Messiah, and that sort of thing. As we're expressing through the giving of charity, we're expressing our gratitude to Hashem and our partnership with Him in the work of bringing the kingdom. This is the formula. Prayer, repentance, turning around, and charity. Now do you see the formula? How shall you love God? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And what is the service of the heart? Prayer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. And what is the service of the soul? Turning from selfishness to Hashem is teshuva. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your might. And what is your might? It's your wealth. It's your resources, which are not yours, but rather God's. Everything you have comes from the hand of God. And so by giving, giving back, we are expressing that. And this is yours, God. This belongs to you. So in other words, the season of repentance that we're facing here as we begin Elul 1 on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, you shouldn't think of it as this time of austerity and gloom, and beating your chest and sorrow, although godly sorrow does lead to repentance, but rather, this is a season of love. Love for God. And of course, as we make amends and rectify relationships and issue apologies, love for one another, love for your brother, love for your sister. The season of love explains why Elul is associated with Song of Songs. Song of Songs, the verse in Song of Songs that says, I am for my beloved, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. The name Elul forms an acronym of that verse. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.